stories to tell. There's so many stories. It was somewhat underground at that time because the devotees had to leave sometime before that. The authorities had recommended to leave because there was it came in the news in Bangladesh that American sadhus attack innocent Muslim villages. That was the attack actually of the attack on the Mayapur temple. So devotees had to leave Bangladesh, and we then a few years later came back. But we were doing it very undercover, and it was military rule at the time. So we made the Chaitanya Cultural Society with the idea that we present ourselves as a cultural group. That's all. So anyway, one of the first devotees we had, it was registered in local devotees' names. So there was a checkbook which a devotee had, and but he'd gone home and he wasn't coming back. So I had to go and get it, mm-hmm. which means I had to get on a bus and travel all day, crossing rivers and everything. Crossing rivers means there were no bridges because the Pakistani army had blown them to pieces during the Liberation War. So every time you came to a river, you had to cross it with a ferry, which means you have to wait for the ferry. So it took all day. And Nikhilananda Prabhu came in. Mm. So I can't remember exactly. We went by bus, and probably we went by boat some distance, because in that part of Bangladesh, at least at that time, a lot of the communication was by boat. Mm-hmm. And then we had to walk some distance, and then we came to his house. His name is Gokulchandra. That was his initiated name. And he gave the checkbook without any problem. I was afraid he might not give it, so he gave it without any problem. So that's one adventure. And when we got back, I remember Nikhilananda asked me to show on the map where we'd been. Because it was just a journey on the bus. It's not like going on a bus in Germany. Nowadays they have air-conditioned buses and good roads in Bangladesh, yeah. But in those days, many of the places we went to, no one had ever seen a road. Literally. They'd never seen what we would call a road. I remember someone asking me once, is there a Paka Rasta, that means a metal road like this, in your village? Not knowing that most of the people in the West don't, at least in England where I'm from, they don't live in villages. And the road means a road with tarmac on it. So that was this. So that's one thing I remember. You must have been traveling with Rasik, I guess, because he was traveling a lot at that time. And I was more in Dhaka, being the temple president of all four or five devotees. And when I used to go to Mayapur, they'd say, oh, he's the president of Bangladesh. As if I was...
Yeah, take a picture of you.
Yeah,
sitting in our
sleep. Sure, with Nikhilananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Another time in Munich, I visited, and there was a whole day festival going on in the city. This was many years later. Were you there?
No, but I just found some pictures of that.
Oh, you're nodding your head. Yeah. In affirmation. So that was, I visited Munich. There's a whole day festival going on in the city. And so he brought me there, and Nikhilananda was in his element, preaching all day. It's a simple format. It is exactly what our movement should be doing, not, anyway, it's all kinds of useless things that we do nowadays. It's exactly what we should be doing. We had a booth with all showing activities of the movement and books for sale. And then do kirtan and then a speech. Kirtan and then a speech. Mm-hmm. Kirtan and then a speech. And it went on all day like that.
Yeah.
It was great.
In Denmark, they do it weekly or maybe even twice or three times a week. It's simple, but it's so simple that you can really do it frequently. Mm. They have a booth, they have a table, kirtan.
Are you from Denmark?
No, but we used to visit Denmark together about three or four times in the last 6 years.
Okay. That we have been I remember about that, that seemed to be mostly Muslims were taking interest. They'd come around and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And stay and listen, and then ask questions. Not the Germans.
It's today the same. Foreigners, somehow, they are not shy to ask. When they see something interesting, they stay and see and watch.
But not only interesting, but I think that there's some... they're religious people.
Mm.
The Germans in general are not.
Mm.
Is that right? This Bayern area is supposed to be Catholic, right?
Yeah.
But do people go to church on Sunday? Do you know? They do.
Some of them do.
They do?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And some of them still, they say, Grüß Gott. And
yeah, there's a normal greeting here. Yeah.
They even use the word God quite frequently in their language.
In a respectful way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Bavaria is actually quite pious in compared
maybe
to other
because most of the people are still farming, is it? That also makes a difference.
Yeah,
yes.
They still feel dependent on
right.
Creator.
When you're in the country, you can. When you're farming, you realize that you're at the mercy of nature,
mm-hmm.
and there are mm-hmm. higher powers than us. Then, I was just seeing something yesterday. There's a famous book called The Human Zoo by Desmond Morris, a British naturalist, in which he analyzes the effect from a biologist's perspective of cramming people into cities.
Mm.
And he says, just like if you cram animals, if you overcrowd them, they become psychotic. So the same thing for humans. What's that? What is it?
Caterpillar.
Raj, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In regards to this verse which you have been just noting on our door.
Yeah.
It's actually in the Purport, Srila Prabhupada says this Vaidarbhi was actually very lucky to have had a good husband.
Yeah,
who was a preacher, who was this staunch preacher who is described here. So I felt very much taken aback when I read this purport, because I really know it's not to be taken for granted that I have had His Grace as my husband.
And now you're serving nicely.
On the other hand, now I have to make sure if it is his last period, we are not sure. It can be, I mean, he is only 62. Could be that he, you know, will
could be
have a new
but
life,
it's the age where passing away is considered normal, starting from 60 onwards.
Mm-hmm.
If it's prior to that, it's you think it's too early, or it may be from a disease or something like that.
Too early.
Hmm?
Too early.
You've got work to do. Yeah. But I mean to say, at that age, it's not so. Gaur Govinda Maharaj passed away, I think he was 62 or something like that. Quite fairly young. Yeah. There's a lot of work to do. Unlimited work to do.
Yeah, and I would really like to assist him in that.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Or is it time for him to now let go of Grihastha life and, you know...
He doesn't want to. He wants to get out there with his devotional flag unfurled.
Right.
So you should be in line with his desires.
Okay.
Whether or not he wants to pursue as Grihastha or Vanaprastha, that you have to see. But I would think that it's unlikely his health condition is going to come up to what it was before. So even from practical everything we should do, we should see how we can best serve Krishna. So from that point of view, to have you as a faithful assistant would be more realistic. Mm. That first of all, we have to see what's Krishna's plan.
Yeah.
And then how we can fit into that plan.
It would be my pleasure to continuous is in him.
Yeah, I can see. You're finding pleasure in this service, whereas so many people might think it's a burden. It is a burden, but it's a burden of love. And that is more pleasing than the happiness of so-called selfish sense gratification.
I was also wondering if perhaps...
I'll tell you something. There's something which I've repeated many times in this lifetime. I read this many, many years ago. I believe it was in Brijbasi Spirit, which was a magazine from the New Vrindavan community, when Kirtananda Swami Bhaktipada was in full steam. So in a class or in a devotee gathering, he asked all the devotees, one by one, are you ready to die? And most of them said, no. No, I'm not ready. I'm ready to become more purified. And one or two of them thought, well, maybe, yes. And then it came back to him. He was the last. He said, I'm not ready. I have so many things to do in Prabhupada's service. So that was his reply. But there are unlimited things to do. There's no end. We can't stay forever in this body.
Service
we can live in our... We can live in our... What we do, kirtir yasya sajivati, Prabhupada quote. What we can do, that means one who is famous lives even after passing off. But what we can do is do our best to pass on to the next generation. It's like a... What do they call that? A lap race? What do they call it? The way, the baton? You pass on the baton. There's a saying, pass on the baton. Relay race, something, yeah. So, there's one time Vishnu Jan Swami, Srila Prabhupada, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he has so many things to do which are undone, and Prabhupada said that, yeah, well, that's his mercy that he left things for us to do also. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he could save the whole world himself. Mm-hmm. So that's Prabhupada's mercy also. He left us so many things to do. Otherwise, Prabhupada can save the whole world himself. And whatever we do, it's by his mercy only.
You gotta say something.
Srila Prabhupada.
Shakti buddhihin amiyati deen. We can't do anything ourselves. He has power. Prabhupada has power. We have no strength, no intelligence. But if he gives it, then we can go. We can do something in his service.
Yes, and Prabhupada really wants me to take over his mission.
That's a big...
he wants to send me to LA. To connect with Vaisheshika Prabhu and Satyanarayan Prabhu and Vijay Prabhu and Savas Prabhu.
But then you have to see. Yeah. First of all, to convince them of all this. Mm-hmm. Satyanarayan is doing books in East Asian languages and in Arabic and Farsi. But I don't know if he's willing to expand more than that, because that's quite a big service in itself. Vaisheshika, he's not in book production. I mean, he's writing, he wrote one book and he's writing another one now, last time I saw him. But in my experience, mostly American devotees, they don't realize the value. They don't even know there's a world beyond America. Satyanarayan does, because he went all over the world distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. He was on the BBT library party. And then they finished India, at least they thought they finished. There's still plenty of work to do in India. Even. But there are many new colleges come up. So then he went to different places. Maybe he went to Bangladesh. Vyasagi went to Bangladesh. And then Satyanarayan was in Indonesia and all different places. And he saw, that'd be great, as we get all the books out. I was doing with Atma Vidya in Bangkok. We were getting books translated and published in Thai, Khmer, Lao, Nepali, Tibetan, Nyawari, English. Did a few books for Malaysia. I think that was it. Those are the languages we were doing it in. I'm just trying to think if there are any other languages, but I think that was it.
So Maharaj, how would you go about this project? Is it something to be shared with future generations, or is it something we can
do within
a couple of decades? Like the Christians, they have this plan with publishing the Bible in 6,000 languages by the year 2025.
And one thing is, you have to see how it's because the book distribution, BBT, is symbiotically linked with ISKCON. So you have to have people to distribute the books also.
Mm-hmm.
We published books in Khmer. I don't remember if we did in Lao. We had the mandate to do it in Lao, Laotian. But I don't know if we did it. But then we published something in Khmer, which is the language of Kampuchea, the main language, and more than one language. And, in Burmese also. We're supposed to do there are many languages in Burma. But I can't remember if we did something in Burmese. But the thing is, in Khmer, we published it, but then we didn't have much outlet to distribute it because it was still totally demoniac. Communist Pol Pot government was going on there at the time. So we were able to distribute to a few refugees in Thailand. That's all. And we don't know the quality also. I got something translated in Tibetan and published, but we have no idea what the quality is because Tibetans are all spooky Buddhists, means they're ghost worshippers and Buddhists. So we don't know what quality. I don't even know if there's one Tibetan vegetarian even. So we don't know the quality of the translation. So
then there might be languages which simply don't have the vocabulary.
They don't have the vocabulary and they don't have the they don't have a script, many of them.
Yeah.
Christians. We had a lot of that was a problem in Thailand because the vocabulary that we need was all countermanded by Buddhists. The words were just like the word for meditation is a Sanskrit word, vipassana. So, and then the concepts that we have are just not there. That's what you're saying, they don't have the concepts because Buddhism, they haven't had theistic culture for.
So it will be a gradual process of
difficult. It's very difficult. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he gave us new words. Mm. In English he gave super soul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the word might have been there, but it wasn't in common usage.
I'm from Switzerland, and if I imagine reading Srila Prabhupada's books in Swiss dialect, I think I wouldn't like it, actually.
But they all read German, don't they? The German Swiss. You're from one of those small dialect places. There are two places in Switzerland even now. They speak that completely different.
It's a Swiss, German Swiss dialect. I am from. Yeah.
But there's standards German that they all read, isn't it? They don't.
Yes.
They don't write it.
So in this case, it really wouldn't be necessary to translate into Swiss dialect.
But there are some places where they have their own language completely,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
But they all read in German.
They do.
Yeah. So it might not be necessary also.
So I guess three parts, right? German, French
and
Italian.
But and then it's Greco-Roman.
Yeah. But there are other languages also.
Mm. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Okay. I mean, the only...
people speak among themselves.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
still
but you can imagine, because it's a mountainous country, and then people get cut off from each other, and you don't know what language the people speak. 7,000 languages, probably more than 3,000 of them are in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, possible.
Because it's very mountainous and jungle country. And so the people on one side of the mountain have had no contact for hundreds of years with the people on the other side, and they speak a completely different language.
Okay. One interesting experience is also in Iceland. Though people speak English fluently,
they like Icelandic.
They like Icelandic, and if they
they're very proud of their language.
Yeah, and they
Iceland.
Will buy the book immediately if it's in Icelandic.
Oh.
In English, they might, but if it's Icelandic, they want to have it, and they will read it also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two sides to it.
They're different because in Iceland they're proud of their language and their culture.
Yeah. And it's just what I like the most about this whole
culture
idea.
Culture is what, eating fish and having sex. And so. But then you need books in Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe in elves.
Cool.
Yeah. Icelandic people, they still believe in them. They live in such a country where the elves are still probably running around a lot. They retreated everywhere else. Well, that's a good start if they believe in elves, so they can believe in all kinds of other things, right? Get the books in all the languages.
What inspires me most about this project is that it engages people in service. Those who preach, those who translate, they really have to go very, very deep into the books. As we have seen with my husband, it helped him so much to study the philosophy deeply. Mm. And you can't take it out anymore, it's really inside. Once you have translated the book of Srila Prabhupada, it's just like...
And he's brainwashed by Prabhupada.
So it's like, even if not all the
And if you do that, you'll find there's so much depth. It's almost impossible to translate, in as much as the words convey so much, but then you on the paper you can go, but how deep you can go, there's no end.
Yeah.
You can write books and books on every of discussion of every line of Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
I also heard this. I heard from Atma Tattva, who said he'd heard it from Jagadish Goswami at the time, that Prabhupada had said that his disciples would write commentaries on his books, which makes sense, because every acharya who writes a commentary, if it's an important commentary, then there'll be sub-commentaries also. So that's another big job.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that, for example, also as your books, actually you are writing books?
They are, in fact, they're not exactly commentaries directly on Prabhupada's books, but they are following or bringing out
on the lower shelf, second.
Points or topics
that
Prabhupada has discussed.
Yes.
That would be the beginner's guide, the brahmacharyas on speaking strongly in Prabhupada's service. They're all the mothers and masters books. They're all elaborations on things that Prabhupada taught, and they're full of quotes from Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
And next book is going to be more densely packed with Prabhupada quotes than any other that I've done so far.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission?
Yeah, the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. Just now coming.
I feel that my husband very much imbibed the mood and mission in regards to preaching and in regards to speaking about Krishna. Whenever he opens his mouth, he speaks about Krishna.
Jai.
He just can't help it. It's just what he does. On the other hand, our sadhana has been very weak, and our life has been very topsy-turvy.
Yeah, the bliss comes from Krishna.
Yeah, that kept us alive throughout very difficult times, because our sadhana was not so strong, because we were quite kind of isolated from devotee community purposefully. It was like we did it consciously. Now, Lord Nisingadev tricked us out. We had to surrender to cooperate and communicate better and make friends with the devotees again. And so Lord Nrisimhadev has his plan.
This community is very nice now.
Yes.
I don't know. You're closer, but
we are very, very.
Yeah, that's really come.
Enchanted how it has developed.
Come up so well.
Yeah, yeah. We also just figured out about it about 2 years ago, because devotees have been coming and going. It has changed a lot, and we know this community for 30 years, both of us. So now it's really very hopeful. A lot of Sankirtan. Book distribution spirit and
spirit is there, spirit of devotion is there.
Yeah, it's also a nice ladies community developing, ladies amongst ladies, you know, trying to practice giving Bhagavatam class amongst ourselves, and doing a lot of programs with the children. The children get some devotional training 3 hours every day,
good.
5 days a week.
So there are good signs. Amid the otherwise bleakness of the ISKCON landscape today, Bhakti Yoga is still going on.
Yes.
It's not only physical yoga. Bhakti yoga vidhana tam katam pashema hi striha. You know that from Kunti's prayers? Tata paramahamsanam muninam amala anam. Bhakti yoga vidhana tam katam pashema hi striha. Kunti prays to Krishna that you are understood and appreciated by the pure-hearted munis and paramahamsas by the process of bhakti yoga, then how can I as a woman see you? That's her humility. She's seen Krishna directly praying to him. The most beautiful prayers that even great munis and paramahamsas may not offer, but she's offering. That's her humility. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We'll hit the road, as they say. We'll move on. Unfortunately, I can speak with Nikolananda. Good to see you.
Raj, is there any way I can keep contact with some of your senior disciples that they can, you know, like, I feel like I'm so much in Maya and I need somebody to know about it and to follow up that I do something against it.
Oh, I don't know. I have many, not many, I have disciples scattered throughout the Western world. Concentrated in India, scattered throughout the Western world. That's why this festival was very good. We just had, because two devotees came from France, three came from Italy, about seven or eight came from Switzerland, about the same number from England, and two from Sweden, and one from Lithuania,
Bulgaria,
two came. So it's like that. From Czech, a contingent of about 35, 40 devotees came. They were the life and soul of the party.
Oh, yes.
And from Poland, one family came. And then from Germany. How many came from Germany? Just two, I think. Three. Wait a minute. Counting up now. Three. Yeah, three. So like that. So I don't have so many senior disciples in the West, except some Indians in England, but then they may be a different mentality like that also.
And those devotees in Czech, some of them speak English?
Yeah.
Most of them.
So that's not so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would actually
but
be
they're
very
all
intrigued
quite
to
junior,
go visit them.
Except for Sankirtan, who's the Brahmacharya leader of them all. They're doing, but they're very good. They're very amazing.
Well, this couple from Lika, they know us.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
And they are medical people also. They could even give us some medical advice now in this situation, because there's some questions in the air, like, should we give him some proteins which are derived from pig's brain so that his brain cells, you know, things like that.
No. You can give vegetarian brains.
Okay.
You know what that is?
Yeah, like dal.
Can you think of anything vegetarian that looks like a brain?
Nuts.
Getting close. Walnuts.
It's
good brain food.
Mm. Okay, so.
And almonds is good brain food. I don't know if you can digest it. Everything to digest.
Mm.
Then there's Brahmi, which is growing wild all over the place at this season. Probably people pay 20 euros to get a jar of Brahmi powder, but it's just growing everywhere.
Here
all over
in Germany?
Everywhere.
What is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you show me?
Yeah, we can show you.
Just look outside. It must be right outside here.
Yeah, there's many herbs, even on this very meadow here, I saw, but I don't know about Brahmi. They just mowed it along. Yeah, so okay, no question to give him pig spray cells. Yeah, good.
There's one letter from Srila Prabhupada in which someone's asking about medication. And Srila, you can't tell because we don't know what the person wrote, but it seems they'd asked about taking something which is not within the principles as medicine. And the doctor says, guaranteed cure. And Prabhupada said, there's no guarantee. So don't take it.
Mm.
That was the... Did you find it? It must be that I saw just walking on the grass and Simhachalam is growing all over the place. It's the season.
And I have one very delicate question regarding the power of discrimination in terms of whom to associate with and whom not.
Mm.
In the past, I used to have some friends, some relatives whom I was very close to and influenced by, and it wasn't good for me, I agree. Since I'm together with my husband, which is 6 years now, 6 and a half, I kind of broke with several people in my life. And sometimes I still feel some pain, and I also know they are pained by the way I did it.
Mm.
On the other hand, I don't want to come too close, but I feel I have to, especially now in this period when it looked like my husband is saying goodbye. I felt all these, you know, past attachments coming back upon me because I felt like I might be alone. Who am I going to connect with? And this kind of attachment reoccurred. Oh, I would like to reconnect with this and that person and at least say, please forgive me.
I didn't communicate with you
for so long. But then I feel like almost unchaste to my husband because he really trained me. You don't need anybody, actually. You just need Srila Prabhupada and the books and the holy name.
Then you phone.
Hmm?
Then you phone. Otherwise, you can keep some kind of friendly relationship with people but not associate with them basically.
Yeah. Kind of neutral at least, or friendly, but...
Yeah, you can be friendly on a superficial level.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Appreciate whatever Krishna consciousness they have. But you don't want to keep association with those whose association will drag you down.
Yeah, very simple.
I guess it's the wrong one. I'm not sure. I guess it's the wrong one. Because they're cutting here grass.
It looks right. It's a little small.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like the right thing, but
it's
very
it's
somewhat spiked at the edge. It may be a different variety. I don't know.
And how do they call it here in German?
I have no idea.
I will research.
You can look
it
up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is now in Simhachalam. You can ask her because I showed her also.
Okay.
In, as one see, Florida, at Guru Varanga's house. He's a disciple of Bhakti Chaiswami from South Africa. So I went out to chant, there's a field, and it's a I came back with all this Brahmi. I gave it to his wife to cook. She's from Mauritius. She's a Italian. She asked her, "Is it cook it like any shack, like spinach?" Mm-hmm. So she cooked it. Gurugram wouldn't touch it. He's afraid. Oh, it comes from the field. Don't know what it is. Basu Ghosh came. We met in America. Hello. We see each other in India. He came. Then he happily had large quantities of it. That's famous as brain food.
Mm-hmm. Brain food, okay. Yeah.
In English, they call it Gutu Kola or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe, I think, some Australian name or something like that. And another thing in India which is famous for brain, badam milk, almonds with milk.
Mm-hmm.
That means you soak the almond, you peel it, you grind it, and then you boil it with milk.
Uh-huh.
And put some turmeric. Anyway, it's all on there. The other thing is Shankar Pushpi. But I don't think you get that in the West. That's famous for brain, for building the brain.
Shankar Pushpi.
You can get it from India. And of course, there's flax seeds or flaxseed oil.
From brain. Yes, we are giving him. Almonds milk. What about ginkgo?
What's that?
Ginkgo. I don't know. Is it not in English?
Is that a German name?
It's like you have a leaf, it goes like this. Looks like a heart.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
And it turns yellow in autumn. And it has some really weird fruits which smell very strongly and...
I don't know. I never heard anything like that.
Okay, thank you. I will keep researching on things which will be good for his health and depend on Krishna.
Yeah.
I do my best and Krishna will do
massage.
Yes.
Could help, but that has to be done with knowledge, otherwise you could mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Make things worse.
Yes. Yesterday we had quite an elaborate
Brahmi oil also.
Brahmi oil. Mm-hmm.
Rubbing on the head.
Oh yeah, this is what I heard, Brahmi oil. Shyamasundara Prabhu arranged for quite an elaborate yakya, Homa yakya yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lasted about 3 hours.
Yeah, they sent
us videos and everything.
Was it a Vamana yakya?
Yesterday it was a Sudarshana and Matsyavatar yakya. And they will do one more for Lord Tanvantri and Ramachandra.
I see. Okay. Just ask him. Mm-hmm. Because Vamana is often for health.
Oh.
Sudarshan, I suppose it's for protection.
Mm.
It'll be different in different cases. Sudarshan and?
Matsya.
Mm.
And we chant 108 times Om Shri Dhanvantari Namaha.
Oh.
Is that okay? Is that kind of authorized? It's the Ayurvedic doctor recommended it to us, but she's not really a Krishna Bhakta.
I think it shouldn't be. Dhanvantari, I'm not sure because I'm not a sensuous expert, but usually it would be Dhanvantaraya.
Mm-hmm.
You have to check the sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In most cases, it would be Krishnaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha. I don't know. Okay, please check.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone who knows. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh,
Hare Krishna.
Seven billion books. That's supposed to be one for everyone on the planet.
You
keep everything. You want to get it? Okay.
For your book publication.
Okay, great.
I once overheard you say in a class.
And this is for looking after Nikhilananda.
I once overheard you say that if our purity of intent is there, money will come automatically. So So please bless us that our sadhana can increase again. Like, I haven't even been chanting 16 rounds the last couple of months, and I feel very ashamed about it. So here it is, I confess this apala, and please bless me so I can start doing good sadhana early in the morning as the first thing in the day, and that I can read.
But if one thing, if the house is on fire, you don't sit there and say, I've got to finish my round. Right? The house is on fire, so no, I'm not going to do anything until I finish my round.
Yeah. Well, now it's not on fire anymore. Now it's just my laziness and bad habits.
Then you have to get out of there. Okay. Here's the garland. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.